New Vrindavan, New Year Day 2016, morning class.
During the holiday season, you find a very noticeable improvement in the character of mankind. People become more friendly, hospitable, charitable, devotional. Now that is all subject to come to a crash and halt with New Year's, which is an occasion that people in the Western world tend to celebrate with all types of inauspicious activities. And to counteract that influence, we will hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita today. Because New Year's is a juncture, it's a new beginning, it's a kind of a sandhya. You know, there's those three auspicious times during the day: dawn, midday, and dusk, when we're especially obliged to remember our spiritual master, by whose grace we can remember Krishna. But there's also sandhyas of the year. And as with any beginning, the frame of consciousness you're in during that juncture of time will set a trend for what you will continue for the rest of the year. The most auspicious and uplifting activity for mankind is to stay in touch with the word of the Lord coming through scripture and sadhu and most of all guru. And by hearing the instructions of Godhead from those who are verily the most munificent welfare workers, we become receptive to be blessed with the holy name of the Lord, which is not a sound vibration of this material world. It is the very form of the Lord himself. But it's the form of the Lord which is most likely to be grossly misunderstood by our material senses. When that holy name finds a submissive oral reception in a submissive disciple, Sri Guru plants that holy name as a seed of devotion within the core of the heart, from where it takes root and develops. And from the holy name, remembrance of the Lord's pastimes, the revelation of the spiritual world, and the understanding of our own true spiritual form and function gradually develops within the heart. And from there, it expands its influence through all the material senses, which thereby become spiritualized. And we can see the truth as it is. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 14, which is entitled Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes, which is a lila within the sequence of events during Ratha Yatra. Verse 220. Paramapurushottama Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Yahandani Tahan Vrindavandam Paramapurushottama Swayam Bhagavan Krishnayaham Danitaham Vrindavanadam
Paramapurushottama
Swayam Bhagavan Krishnayaham Danitaham Vrindavanadam Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, and his complete opulences are exhibited only in Vrindavan Dham. There's no purport to this particular verse, so we'll move on to one of the first purports by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is a purport to a verse at the conclusion of this series, where, with great respect, Mahaprabhu is requesting Advaita Acharya, give Krishna consciousness, devotion to Krishna, to anyone and everyone, even the lowest of men, Chandavas. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to all his devotees. Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna, is open to everyone, even low-class men like Chandavas. One should follow this order in the disciplic succession, stemming from Sri Advaita and Nityananda Prabhu, and distribute Krishna consciousness without discrimination throughout the world. Om Agantara Vandasya Agadanjana Sarapaya Chakshara Malitanyena Tasmai Shri Ramayana. At this juncture between the last year and the new year, which is a natural time to reflect on the past and look to the future, very appropriate time to contemplate what is most essential in life and to make choices accordingly, because the choices we make will in turn make us regarding the quality and purpose of our lives. In this verse, it's Sri Swarup Damodar speaking, who is Lalita Devi in Krishna Lila. And the occasion is the festival called Lakshmi Vijaya. It's in between the going Rath Yatra, when Jagannath goes from Purushottama temple, which is Dwarka in Jagannath Puri, to Gundiksha or Sundarachana, which is Vrindavan. And just before the Lakshmi Vijaya festival, King Indrajumna, King Pratapurudra, who was Indrajumna Maharaj in the previous millennium during the appearance of Lord Jagannath, he told Kashi Mishra, the superintendent of the temple, use whatever resources is required to make this festival so nice for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he invited Lord Gauranga with Swarup Damodar and his associates to observe the festival, which is held with great pomp. See, when Jagannath goes to Gundicha with Baladeva and Subhadra, he's going to Vrindavan from Dwarka. So he tells the goddess of fortune, he can't go with him, but I'll be back tomorrow. Does this sound familiar with Krishna? I'll be back tomorrow, or most of the day after. So Pandavijaya, after 5 days, there's no sign of his return. Goddess of fortune is becoming angry. So she emerges from the temple carried on a very ornate palanquin. And she's clearly not in a good mood. Very angry. As are her maidservants. And seeing this, Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar have to cover their faces because they could not resist smiling. And she takes her entourage straight to Gundicha, where the chariots are parked outside the temple. And the maidservants of the goddess of fortune begin arresting the servants of Jagannath, handcuffing them, binding them, dragging them before the goddess, throwing them down at her feet, and making them the object of jokes and loose language. And they won't release them. They're held captive until they promise the goddess of fortune that they'll bring her lord back to her the very next day. And then with sticks they began striking the chariots in great anger. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what is wrong with her? And Swarup Damodar explains, it is the nature of a girl who is afflicted with love to become angry, feeling neglected by her lover. He said, yes, we all know that. But I have never seen such an exhibition of pride and anger as this. You know, we hear of some similarity with Satyabhama and Dwarka, but this kind of display is unprecedented. Can you explain? And Sri Swarup Damodar begins to explain that Krishna cannot be fully satisfied in Dwarka with all of his opulences. And once a year, the irresistible urge to go to Vrindavan is uncontrollable. So he goes there, to Gundicha, with Krishna and Balaram. And the obvious question is, why doesn't the goddess of fortune go with him? And this is an elaborate topic. And while they're discussing the nature of the Aishwarya Lila of Dwarka in contrast to the irresistible Madhurya of Braj, and Lord Garanga and Swarup Damodar are just drifting on the current of Braj Bhakti with great relish and to enhance the Lila. As a loving adversary, Srivas Thakur challenges Swarup Damodar. How is it that your Lord Krishna, Jagannath, who is so expert at everything, could give up the supreme opulence of the goddess of fortune, and in preference for a few leaves, twigs, and peacock feathers, go to Vrindavan to visit the flower garden of Srimati Radharani? My goddess, Lakshmi Devi, reigns from a bejeweled palace with untold opulences. Why does her husband leave her to go to Vrindavan, and he doesn't even come back when he promises he will? What is wrong with him? And then again, Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar cannot resist but to smile in great delight. And as if he needed any introduction, he says, "This is Swarup Damodar. He's a pure devotee of Vrindavan. He doesn't know anything about opulences because he is completely, deeply immersed in the mellows of Braj Bhakti." And hearing this, Swarup Damodar rose to the occasion. "My dear Srivas, your nature is just like Narada Muni," because he is Narada Muni, "the supreme personality of Godhead's Aishwarya, divine opulence, is having an effect upon your consciousness. So I will reveal to you what real opulence is." And that's what this verse is saying here. Sri Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, full of all six opulences, reveals his ultimate opulences only in Vrindavan. And then Swarup Damodar began to explain and elaborate. That in Vrindavan, the dust you're referring to is indeed Chintamani. Every speck of that dust is more precious than all the Vaikunthas multiplied unlimitedly. And that is the dust which forms the anklets for the Brajagopis, who are the ultimate goddesses of fortune, far surpassing anything in the goddess of fortune of Dwarka. And you know the nature of those trees whose twigs you commented upon. They are kapavrikshas, which produce any fruit anyone desires, unlimitedly. And the inhabitants of that the forest, Braj Vrindavan, are so satisfied with those fruits. And the cows, kamadhenus, they provide unlimited quantities of milk, as well as cream, butter, ice cream, or anything anyone desires. But what do we see reflected in this world during the holiday season? These luminous trees, these effulgent houses, and the cowshed you see everywhere, with a baby born in the manger, in the company of cows and shepherds. And sometimes the people of the East think, you know, these Christians, they just adopted our stories. And the people in the West think, these Hindus, they adopted our stories. Because there's so much similarity, without considering that when the Lord or his representative appears in this world, there is a lot of similarity. But the thing, and this tree, Christmas tree, tradition inaugurated by Martin Luther, that very simple, humble, yet fearless German monk who faced the full brunt and wrath of the Holy Roman Empire. And it was a very dark time for him because hundreds of thousands of his followers were slaughtered by the Inquisition. And he was so much subject to depression and discouragement. But then one night in the forest he saw a tree that was bright green and never faded. And it was covered with crystals, snow crystals and icicles. And he saw in that tree, this is the emblem of his Lord. And he worshipped that tree, inaugurating this tradition of the Christmas tree. And a child. And what is the nature of this tree, this Christmas tree? Presents appear all around it, supposedly whatever you want to make you happy. But what is the shortcoming in this tradition? People want presents for themselves, and therefore they're never really satisfied. And after New Year's, with all the resolutions they make, after which they begin to cheat a little bit there, and slip a little bit here, until what's left of their New Year's resolutions is just that twinge of guilt, which also fades very quickly as the New Year proceeds. What is wrong with this picture? The tree does not produce presents for your satisfaction. The tree which it reflects, the Kalpa Riksha, produces whatever you want for Krishna's pleasure. But it's not the presents, it's the love, which makes it impossible for Krishna to leave Vrindavan. And it makes it impossible for the Brijabasis to leave Vrindavan. And therefore Srila Prabhupada called us inmates, bound by the love of Krishna, which is most fully manifest in the divine opulences of Brajadam, of which New Vrindavan is Srila Prabhupada's replica. Because those who are imbued with that depth of love of God, they can't keep it to themselves. They need to express it and share it. And how is it expressed? Sarup Damodar continues. In Vrindavan, all the water is nectar, all motion is dance, all speech is song, and everything is activated by the essence of love conveyed in the music of Krishna's flute. And then he began to... And what is he doing here? He's really paraphrasing the revelation of Brahma, who came to consciousness in this world to find everything was dark and empty. And it's really Brahma who's the only begotten son of the Lord. Found himself alone, sitting on a lotus in the middle of what appeared to be nothing. And he was bewildered. Who am I? Where did I come from? What am I here for? So he did what the natural inclination of the conditioned soul. Use your empiric resources to trace out your source, which should shed some light on your destination. The only connection with what appeared to be anything was the stem of the lotus, which he began to follow until he saw that there's no end to this. The empiric quest will not take you to your destination. He came back to the lotus and sat in meditation until he heard the clue in the sound of the vibration which reached his ears, tapa, perform penance and austerity, which he did for a long time. After which, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna appeared, shook hands with Brahma. It really means he took him by the hand and revealed to him the spiritual world, after which he was to design this material world as a reflection, to teach us something about our homeland and return there. And then later, initiated by the sound of Krishna's flute, Brahma was blessed with darshan of Goloka. And as he sings in great exultation in his Brahma Samhita, which was lost to mankind at the time of Mahaprabhu, who was so delighted to find one chapter, which Swarup Damodar is paraphrasing here. And the conclusion is that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all six opulences, manifests as complete opulences only in Vrindavan. Question remains, why didn't the Goddess of Fortune just go there with him? And that was elaborated upon in a wonderful way in the discussion with Lord Gauranga in Venkata Bhat in South India, father of Gopal, later renowned as Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was just a little boy, child at the time. Venkata Bhatta in Srirangam was a very devout worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan. And by his devotion, Lord Gauranga was very attracted to stay in his house for Chaturmasya. And little Gopal had the service of massaging Lord Gauranga's lotus feet. And then one day, in a joking mood, Lord Gauranga told Venkata Bhatta that you worship Lakshmi Narayan. My Lord is a Gopa. Why is it that your Lakshmi Devi is so attracted to my Gopa Lord? And then Katabhata, a very learned scholar in the Vedas, said there's no violation on her part. She knows that your Gopa Lord, Krishna, is not different from her husband, Narayan. So there's no violation of her chastity in being attracted to this other feature of her husband. So that's true. But when she was attracted to Vrindavan and she approached the outskirts and engaged in severe tapasya for a long period of time with the desire for the association of my Gopa, she was unable, she was unsuccessful. She could not achieve Krishna Bhakti. Why is that? You're asking questions beyond my limits now, so please reveal it to me. Lord Gauranga said that she was unsuccessful because she could not give up the conception that she's the goddess of fortune. And because of that, she could not follow in the footsteps of the gopis, which is the only path to Braj. The goddess of fortune could have taken to milking cows and churning butter. But as the goddess of fortune, she could not accommodate. So she was bereft from even perceiving or approaching the Rasa Lila. Of course, hearing all these things, little Gopal became so attracted . Of course, this is seeing things from the sadhaka perspective. These are all nitya siddhas. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is Ananga Manjari, who took birth in that far off distant land of South India, for different reasons, including that Lord Gauranga would search out his lost servants and bring them back to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada, an eternal resident of that Vrindavan Dham, could not keep it to himself, because the other side of love of God is compassion for the jivas. So Srila Prabhupada descended to the land of Gauramandala Bhumi, and in his later years took up residence in Radha Damodar Mandir, where he could see the form of Radha Vrindavan Chandra right from his room. And very prominent in that temple complex is the Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami, where Srila Prabhupada prayed for the inspiration and empowerment to reveal this path of Raga Nuga pursued by the Rupa Nugas, to make accessible to the conditioned souls of this world the melodies of Vrindavan. So the sacred books of the Goswamis offer the precious assistance to direct our consciousness to the blessings which awaken the revelation of Goloka at every step, that original homeland where all our dormant, blissful satisfactions blossom into fruition through our consciousness as an entire being. And then we can understand how the finest attractions of this world, the decorative patterns, the lotus archways, the lattices on the palaces and borders on the arch, draw us and appeal to us because they are samples evolving from the patterns of the conscious effulgence emanating from the lords of Vrindavan, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. In such a merciful benediction, Srila Prabhupada has given this world out of compassion, begins by accepting the orders of spiritual master as one's very life and soul. The image of success in adhering to our New Year's resolutions, which for devotees would be something along the lines of improving our chanting, deepening our study and relationship with scripture, because what is Chaitanya Charitamrita? It's not an informational book. It's a relational scripture. If you approach Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita for information, you'll find some things. But if you approach it as the very form of Lord Gauranga and develop a relationship with this scripture, as with all the books of the Goswamis, you will find it will reveal to you infinite information and revelation about the nature of our homeland and how to return there. So, the tradition for New Year's is to make resolutions. And the secret to success is contained in the instructions that Lord Gauranga gave to the devotees of Navadvipa. At the birth of the Sankirtan movement, and with that conversion of Navadvipa Dham from a town of learning, a great university city, to a center of kirtan, there was simultaneously a rise of extreme fundamental Muslim terrorism and opposition, because the government was Islamic. The governor, the Chand Kazli, was the actual incarnation of Kamsa from Krishna Lila, who was related to the Nawab Hussain Shah, who was Jarasandha of Krishna Lila. You know, we're somewhat blessed in America to have a government that at least let you practice your faith and freedom of speech. The devotees of Navadvipa did not have that. They lived under great fear of this Islamic government, especially when kirtan emerged to the streets, as it did with the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. Before that, the kirtans were confined to the courtyard of Srivast Thakur, basically, where the devotees were like scientists experimenting with some unknown energy and just observing the effects. And in the kirtan, they would see that Lord Gauranga would go through so many transformations. He would become so light that he would just float in the air, dancing so gracefully like an angel. And then when the kirtan ras shifted and flowed from another direction, he becomes so heavy, he and Nityananda would come crashing down, and the earth would just shift and tilt. He would become very thin, as if you could just nearly see right through him. Then he would become very full. And he would transmute through different colors. And the devotees began recognizing one another and addressing them by their original names from Krishna Lila. And the Vrindavan pastimes were unfolding within the courtyard of Srivast Thakur. So they didn't know how to take the Sankirtans to the streets of a city governed by Muslims. And it was, you know, when Lord Gauranga heard that Jagai and Madhai are killing Mithai, that the gates opened and the kirtan proceeded. And then they saw, everyone, the miraculous effects of this kirtan. The Jagai and Madhai, who were the full embodiment of all the demoniac qualities of the six different appearances of Jaya and Vijaya, became devotees, pure devotees. Then the Vaishnavas were inspired to share this gift. But the opposition was rising apace. And then came the threats from the Islamic government, which they were actually executing, terrorizing the devotees, beating them, breaking the madangas, looting their houses, and threatening them with the most dire consequences of all, they would be converted to Islam, which doesn't take anything more than to be have some water from a Muslim's water pot dropped upon your head, which means you're an outcast. A fate worse than death. So that kind of suppressed the expansion of the Sankirtan movement. And Lord Gauranga gave the perfect formula to the devotees, which will also apply to us in adhering to our vows, in sticking to our New Year's resolutions. Lord Gauranga planted the image of success in the devotees' hearts. He taught how to block out images that run contrary. And what does that mean? Maya. We make good resolutions, but then the temptations increase from Maya, which promise satisfaction and pleasure, and therefore appear to be something positive. But as we become familiar with the Word of God coming through Scripture, we can identify them as they are weeds and do not allow them to take root. Uproot the weeds that are growing in the heart as you cultivate the Bhakti Lata, and any new weeds try to take root. Pull them out. And use every resource you have. Friends, family, association, congregation, those who share the same goals, and get enthused and inspired and celebrate success. Lord Gauranga planted the seed of hope in the devotees' hearts because they came to him so discouraged. You know, the first time they came to him, said, just continue the Sankirtan, but then the opposition, the persecutions, and it wasn't actually as much from the occupational, brutal, ferocious Afghan occupational government as from the smart brahmanas and the pundits who held the exclusive right to the Word of God and would not share it with the masses. And they are the ones who provoked the Islamic government. These Vaishnavas are destroying Hindu culture because our scriptures reveal that the Lord sleeps in the heart and he should be addressed only very quietly. But these kirtans are resounding through the city. They will awaken the Lord, and in wrath he will destroy your whole kingdom. And the Qazi was thinking, what does the Quran say about that? Well, if you don't listen to us, we will appeal to the Nawab Hussein Shah. And then your life will be in jeopardy. Okay. So then, the devotees. So then, as the devotees are peacefully performing kirtan with their family and friends and associates from Simulya, which is Mathura, within Navadvip Dham, comes galloping thousands of ferocious, brutal Afghan cavalry soldiers attacking the devotees, arresting them, beating them, smashing their madangas, looting their homes, and threatening them that if you ever do this again, there will be dire consequences. The devotees came back to Lord Gauranga, so humble, so simple, so gentle, being so severely abused. And he said at first, just continue. They continued, and the opposition increased. What does this have to do with New Year's? The outer is a demonstration of what's going on within our own hearts when we take to Krishna consciousness. We're confronted with Kamsa, who is our own fear. and all the demons lurking in the dark, which become exposed as the light of Krishna consciousness dawns in our newfound bhakti. So, when the retaliations increased, the devotees came back to Lord Gauranga. So we cannot live without kirtan, and clearly kirtan cannot live in this city because we've been threatened with death. Will you bless us to just leave Navadvip? And then Lord Gauranga, whose form, whose face, whose countenance is so sweet, so charming, as if sculpted of pure love, gentle, kind, compassionate, he became like Rudra at the time of the dissolution of the universe, and the devotees could not even look upon his face. And he said, so the Kazi says that he will stop kirtan. Let us see if he can stop me. And he told the devotees, if you really want to see Krishna's magic, come after lunch with a torch in one hand and a pot of oil in the other hand, because that torch is going to have to burn throughout the night. And we will see what kind of cousin tries to put an end to this Sankirtan movement. So, the word spread like the wind. And Mahaprabhu also said, I will lead you all dancing through the streets of Navadvip tonight. So everyone show up after lunch, and as the sun sets, the kirtan, the nocturnal kirtan, will begin and expand. So after lunch, millions began appearing outside of Lord Gauranga's home with torches. And while the millions are flocking to Sachi's house, others began lamenting that, you know, we avoided this Lord Gauranga, but they became drawn into the current. We want to see this Lord. And meanwhile, in Sachi's house, Gadadhar Pandit is dressing Lord Gauranga so exquisitely beautiful, with his silk dhoti folded so exquisitely, and garlands adorning his chest, and garlands adorning his hair. And then when Lord Gauranga emerged outside, in unprecedented beauty, to find that all the houses and all the streets of Navadvip Dham were decorated with emblems of the most warm welcome, because nobody knew which street he would take, which house he would grace, and the whole city was decorated so beautifully. And even those who were indifferent were caught in the current of the contagion. And even the opponents, they didn't want to be left out. They showed up with torches. And the thieves were watching. Everybody's leaving home with their doors wide open. This is an unprecedented golden opportunity. But we don't want to be left out. So rich men were mass producing torches and pots of oil and distributing them to everyone. And they were all showing up. And then when Lord Gauranga emerged, and he raised his lotus arms into the air, and in great joy, he cried out, Hari Bol! And that just infused the devotees with such inspiration and life and courage. And what were they seeing? This charming Bengali youth of 24 years of age, clad in flowers and silks, surrounded by devotees with kartals and mridangas. Now, how do they hold kartals and mridangas and play them while simultaneously holding a torch and a water and a pot of oil? Because everyone spontaneously assumed forearm forms so that they could hold their torch and play the mridanga. But nobody saw that they had forearm forms because this is Braj Lila. The opulences are all there. The opulences of Vaikuntha and Dwarka are not absent in Braj. They're eclipsed in Braj by a superior opulence consisting of beauty, sweetness, and charm. And then, as the sun set, and the sky began to darken, without even lighting the torches, they all burst into flames simultaneously. Millions upon millions of torches lighting the sky, more brilliant than midday. And then Lord Garanga, he organized the Sankirtan parties, beginning with Advaita, and Srivasa had his party, and Haridas Thakura had his party. And when Lord Garanga looked at Nityananda, he said, "I cannot leave your side, so we will dance together." And they began chanting and dancing, along with the actual parikrama path we follow now in Navadvipa parikrama, along the Ganges, past Barokama Ghat, and Jagai and Marai Ghat. And at a certain crossroads, Lord Garanga directed the party on the road to Simulya, which is where the Shankazi's palace was. And as flowers rained down from the heavens and torches lit the sky, and champak and malati flowers fell down from heaven in a form like the tongue of Mother Earth, who was also chanting Hare Krishna with the devotees. And even those who had opposed the Lord were looking on with wonder and awe, thinking, where did all these people come from? Navadvipa cannot contain so many, because the demigods had all mingled with human forms. They didn't want to be left out. And people began to see that although the Kazi is the nominal chieftain of the town, Lord Garanga is the real master. And as the kirtan evolved, and they saw that, because everybody forgot their fear of the Chankazi until Lord Garanga directed them on the path to his palace. And then they remembered the Kazi. So within the resounding roar of the Hare Krishna kirtan, which was like an overture, another mantra began taking prominence. Mar Kazi, kill the Kazi. And then people were wondering, how are these simple, humble, gentle Bengalis going to confront this brutal, ferocious Afghan leader protected by thousands of Pathan soldiers armed with swords and spears and cannons? This is going to be a total massacre. And then the opponents of the Lord saw that within that Sankirtan party were their own friends and family members and relatives, and they repented their opposition and they joined in the kirtan. So in the palace of the Chankazi, who was devoted to the Prophet Muhammad, surrounded by soldiers whose very creed was the destruction of the non-believers, which was their passport to heaven, which makes them very, very enthusiastic for a fight, fearless. And then the Kazi heard loud songs approaching. Is that a marriage procession? Did Nimai Pandit get married? But then he heard, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And I ordered them to stop that kirtan. So he sent out his spies. Check, is that a Sankirtan party? His spies went out. And then they stuck out like a sore thumb, these Muslims, in the midst of a Sankirtan party, surrounded on all sides. And they wanted to hide, but there's no place to hide. So they tucked their beards under their chins, they took off their turbans, and they raised their arms and began chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Spies never came back to report, is this a Sankirtan party? But as it drew near, it clearly was. And the Jankasi went into a rage. I threatened them. I ordered no more kirtan. But then he hears from all sides surrounding his palace nothing but kirtan. So he sent out the first wave of the cavalry soldiers. And he expected he would be hearing screams and moans and groaning of... But then he hears... Because as the cavalry approached the kirtan, there's no opposition to this kirtan. As far as you can see, in the land and sky, there's only kirtan. And they wanted to hide. There was nowhere to hide. They also joined in the kirtan. He sent out reinforcements to the cavalry. And with every wave of reinforcements, the kirtan became louder because there was more participants. Finally, the Qazi was left in the palace with no one except the ladies of the house. All his cavalry had been swallowed up into the Sankirtan party. So like a frog running from a mouse, he was running around the house, where to hide? Though at least he'd give up his life trying to protect the ladies of the house, he went into the inner chambers and locked the doors. And then when the kirtan party reached the palace, they were uprooting the garden and tearing down the house, chanting, Mar Qazi. And then Lord Gauranga arrived and said, no. Tolerance, forbearance, kindness, compassion. And he selected his most refined and cultured gentleman from the assembly and asked him, go to the Qazi and assure him there's no cause for fear. And asked if he would come and greet his nephew. You see the relation? Krishna was the nephew of Kamsa. So when the most refined, gentle Vaishnavas went to the Qazi's door and said, your nephew wants to see you. And he was overwhelmed. Something surging in his heart. And he came out with his head bowed low. And Lord Gauranga received him with all the honor due to a high position government official. And he introduced himself. I'm your nephew. Sachi's father was your dear friend, which makes you my uncle. And I have a question, my dear uncle. When I come as a guest to your house, why did you hide from me? I said, because your devotees were very out of control. I was afraid. But really, I was afraid because I offended you. I offended your devotees. And they were bent on revenge. But I see that you are most forgiving and tolerant. So I offer you my welcome. And Lord Gauranga basically had two questions he wanted to ask, which there's not time to go into now. One is, you drink cow's milk, of course, and the cow is your mother. You bull is your father. What kind of religion would sanction killing your mother and father? And the other question is, you are the chieftain of the town. You have every right to forbid Sankirtan, which you started out very enthusiastically, but afterwards your heart wasn't into it. Why is that? And the Shankarasi is feeling this commotion with his heart. He said, I dare not venture to address you as nephew. I would like to call you what your friends do. Gaur Hari. My dear, Gaur Hari. The Hindus worship Lord Narayan. I think that you are he. And becoming very emotional with a faltering voice, he answered the question, why you weren't so enthusiastic in stopping the Sankirtan, he said. Because when I first tried, my constables came back, their beards were burned off. They told me that when they approached the Sankirtan party, flames emerged and burned their beards, and they came back in fear. But the most significant thing is they were chanting Hare Krishna. They couldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. These Muslim fanatics became so bewitched in the association of your devotees, they couldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. So just go home, go to sleep. Address this matter in the morning. And then when I went to sleep, I was awakened in the middle of the night by this being who had the head of a lion and the form of a man who placed his four hands with their sharp nails upon my chest, and he told me, you broke that mridanga, I will rip out your heart. And seeing me trembling in fear, he said, this is no good. But stop. Stop that. So I stopped. And Lord Gauranga said, I have one thing to ask of you. Don't resume this opposition. We are your subjects. Grant us protection. And the Chankazi, inspired with service attitude, said, yes, my proclamation to all my subjects and to all generations who follow in my family, no one impede but give protection to the Sankirtan movement. My curse upon their heads if they violate my order. And then the Sankirtan erupted into great ecstasy and left to visit the house of Sridhar. Call it that Sridhar. And the Kazi wanted to go with the Kirtan party, but Lord Gauranga told him, no, you stay here, because what was to transpire at Kolavat Sridhar's house was so sweet and intimate that the Kazi could never relate. So, even to this day, on the Parikrama path of Navadvip Dham, there's a very important place of pilgrimage. It's the tomb of the Chankazi. And from his tomb grows a tree. It's a champak tree, because he loved champak flowers. His nickname was champak. But with the champak tree is another tree. It's a neem tree. These trees are so tightly embraced. And upon the tomb of the Chankazi, this combined neem and champak tree shower champak flowers upon his tomb every day. To clarify, he is the touchstone who fulfills all desires. And our dormant, highest spiritual aspirations will blossom into full fruition by the influence of this touchstone in the gift that he brought to this world, that Srila Prabhupada brought to the West, in the very form of Radha and Krishna, who dance together in the sounds of their holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Quick question.
Krishna, 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 Krish